this week on the show. Despite some major service disruptions, the United States Postal Service has just announced a big price increase that's going to affect media sellers particularly hard, and eBay goes fee-free in the UK. Sort of. What is up, Galaxians? Welcome to episode number 242. I got the number right this time, of the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. My name is Ryan, and I will be your host. We've got a pretty big episode this week with a lot of reselling news, some big announcements from the post office, and some updates on some pretty serious service disruptions happening over there right now. We've got some updates also from eBay on some things that are going on over there. And then in the back end of the show, as always, I will have a pretty hefty What's Sold recap. So let's jump right in to some reselling news.
News updates.
So we talk about it all the time on this show because the United States Postal Service raises their rates twice a year in January and July, and they just announced the newest price increase last week that's going to be coming in July of this year. It's the first half of it. And it is a big one, particularly for media sellers. So if you're a book, DVD, record album seller, this one is going to be very painful. This article is on e-commerce bites. Sellers must deal with another USPS rate hike in July. Online sellers must brace themselves for another shipping rate hike. This is 3 months down the road, so you do have some time to plan for it. They published their new rate request for their market dominant rates on April 9th to take effect in July, when the price of a stamp will rise by 5 cents from 68 to 73 cents, an increase of 7.4%. But here's the big one. Media mail rates will increase by an average of 9.867%. Let's just call it 10% to be fair. That is a massive, massive change in media mail rates. I don't know what's going on over there. Apparently, they're trying to get costs in line. Media mail has been notoriously super cheap for years and years and years. I've talked about it on this show with some regularity. When I started doing this, you could ship up to a pound for, I think, $2.75. That certainly is no longer going to be the case going forward with this price increase. The article continues, today's announcement only covers market dominant rates, which do not include several services popular with small online sellers, such as Priority Mail and USPS Ground Advantage. Those two announcements typically come a couple of weeks later, so we'll be covering this issue again, I'm sure, later in the month. So be on the lookout for that. I would imagine those prices are likely to increase as well. Typically, the United States Postal Service follows up its request for market dominant rate changes a bit later by publishing a notice for those rate hikes for what they call competitive services. Both of those rate changes are going to into effect on July 14th of this year. So mid-July is when all this is going to happen. As I mentioned, this happens twice a year now, January and July. And then sometimes they do a temporary seasonal price increase in October as well. Last year, knock wood, they did not do that. So hopefully they will do that again this year and pass on that. Media mail and library mail rates rising by 9.867%. The United States Postal Service stated in its filing with the Postal Regulatory Commission, quote, to improve media mail library mail's cost coverage, the Postal Services is applying an above average rate increase, no kidding, of 9.867%, more than 2 percentage points above the class average. This rate increase should improve media mail library cost coverage. So like I said a moment ago, the idea is to try to get this thing to be more cost effective and to lose a little bit less money on it. For my part, I'm surprised, to be honest, that they have kept the increments at 1 pound and not changed them to maybe every half pound so that they could build in even more increases. Don't tell them I said that. I don't want them getting any ideas, but I'm really surprised they have not done something different where with like Ground Advantage and some of those services, the rate changes happen about every 4 ounces. So I don't know. This is to just layer on a flat, almost flat 10% increase is a big number. There's also going to be some changes in certified mail and return receipts. They're going up by 10 to 12%. Insurance, however, is going to drop by 10%. In contrast, they said insurance will receive a price reduction of 10% in response to volume declines, consumer sensitivity, and competitor insurance pricing. Apparently, the consumer sensitivity piece does not apply to media mail rates. There is a link in this article, if I'm not mistaken, to the full filing from the United States Postal Service. I'm going to share with you a quick update from that filing, which is 100 plus pages, 154 pages. Here are the, for those of you who are media sellers, here are the new rates. The maximum 1 pound rate right now is $4.13. For single piece, it is going to go up all the way to $4.63. It's going up 50 cents, which is, as you may have noticed, if you're good at math, more than 9.8%. That was the average price increase. So at the low weight end, where a lot of this stuff takes place, the increase is even higher than 10%. 2 pound rate, which is currently 487, is going to go to 538. The 3 pound rate, which is currently 561, is going to go to 613, and so on. I will link to this article so that if you want to go see the full rates, you can do that. Again, coming in July to a post office near you, big, big, big rate increase for media shippers in particular at this point. We'll see what the rest of the rates do when that is announced. Again, my expectation would be that they're going to go up as well. Media mail rates, frankly, are converging pretty quickly with the ground advantage rates. I don't know. I've talked to a couple of sellers, and I'm kind of inclined to believe that there may be a move afoot to just eliminate media mail ultimately altogether and just lump everything into that ground advantage service. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I've got several instances every day where ground advantage actually works out cheaper at really low weights, under 4 ounces, and at heavier rates where you, if you're using the commercial pricing that's available on eBay or Pirate Ship, you can actually save a little bit of money with ground advantage anyway. So we're going to keep an eye on this, but just know that that price increase is coming, and it's a doozy, which is especially problematic because the post office is on the struggle bus right now. They are really, really having some delivery issues. I have not personally experienced any significant problems. I had one customer that left feedback recently that said the item arrived a little later than they expected, but they knew it was not the seller's fault. It was the fault of the post office. So thankfully, I dodged a bullet on that one. But there are a lot of issues. This article is over on eSeller 365. And again, I will link to these in the show notes and the video description below. The United States Postal Service network is facing regional delays that are significantly impacting postal customers. Let me know if you're watching on YouTube in the comments below. Have you had any inbound or outbound mail that you've noticed that has been delayed? The situation has escalated to a point where eBay actually notified its sellers to expect delivery delays when using the United States Postal Service. That's an unprecedented step, other than in times of weather issues or natural disasters of some sort, for them to tell sellers that, hey, there's a problem here, is pretty dramatic. So this is obviously a pretty wide-ranging and significant service issue. In addition, they say we are tracking facility closures in 20 states that impact retail, post office, and drop shipping operations, requiring the use of nearby postal locations. This article actually has a list by state of individual localities and individual post offices that are having significant issues. In some cases, I scanned through some of them. There was one, the post office was closed because they lost their lease. So there's some really random stuff going on, but it is really impacting service kind of nationwide. They note that while weather is currently not playing a significant role in delaying mail deliveries, regional issues are causing concerns across the nation. Earlier in the year, customers in Houston, Texas were complaining of delayed mail that they think may have been mostly solved by now, but today, residents and businesses in Metro Atlanta, Georgia, have become the latest victims of significant mail delays from a new facility in South Fulton County. So this may just be growing pains with some new processes and some new buildings. This may not be a permanent issue. It may be fairly temporary, but it is certainly happening right now pretty much across the country. While delivery delays affect all postal customers, these disruptions are especially troubling for e-commerce shippers like you and I that rely heavily on the United States Postal Service to handle their packages. Reports suggest that tracking is not showing up or is irregular, generating increases in customer service calls and frustrations. I have found this also to be the case. I had several shipments that the tracking did not update correctly to eBay. I've had several that I can see tracking on eBay or on Etsy, but when I try to find that on the United States Postal Service tracking site, the screen is just blank. So there are some major technology issues happening in addition to all these service disruptions. So I have over the years been fairly praiseful of the job that the post office has done, but they are clearly having some issues right now. eBay's statement said, "We are aware that many USPS domestic shipments are taking longer to be delivered than typical service standards at this time. Furthermore, the marketplace said they are monitoring the network and will adjust estimated delivery dates as needed to ensure your buyers see the most accurate delivery times possible." That is something that Etsy also does on a regular basis. If they notice disruptions, they will make adjustments. None of the other marketplaces that I'm aware of have said anything. As this article points out, they've not seen other online marketplaces issuing similar advisory or protections because of these delays. But that is obviously a big, big problem. So just be aware of that. And again, in this article, there are a list of delivery location closures and other issues that may be causing this to be a bigger problem than it needs to be. Now, supposedly, eBay has said they will protect sellers that are dealing with these widespread delays. I'm a little skeptical about this because I've not seen anything official. This apparently happened on the eBay for Business podcast. So the Houston area postal delays that impacted people during the shopping season have spread to other parts of the country, including Virginia and Georgia. And eBay apparently indicated it would protect sellers who run into problems as a result. Quote, "Across the country, residents and businesses have been reporting widespread slowdowns in mail and package delivery by the United States Postal Service," NBC News reported back on April 6th, and they noted that the delays have become so persistent that lawmakers have urged the United States Postal Service to correct course. They don't seem, to be fair, to have much impact on what Louis DeJoy is doing at the post office. He is running his own thing over there. Love him or hate him, most people seem to really despise the guy, but he's not really taking advice from anyone. A lot of the changes that we've seen are part and parcel of his Delivering for America program or whatever it's called. They're trying to consolidate, much like Amazon has done, into different regional centers and supposedly become more efficient, but it has caused, obviously, all kinds of snafus. eBay is keeping an eye on things. According to the eBay for Business podcast, in Tuesday's episodes, a host said they saw a map of delays that indicated the entire country was experiencing delays, but they said they were, quote, pretty sure the eBay shipping team was covering for the delays so there would be no consequences. That's why I'm skeptical. I would imagine if you have a particular issue and you reach out to eBay, given the situation, that they will probably take care of you, but that statement would kind of indicate that there's some kind of blanket generosity taking place over at eBay, and I don't think that's probably the case. Your tip-off should probably be the words, pretty sure. it just felt like they were kind of making that up. But anyway, if you're having shipping issues, let me know down in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube. As always, if you're listening to the podcast, you can shoot me an email at galaxycds@gmail.com. So I've had a couple of people point this out to me over the last couple of weeks, and eBay has finally made an actual official announcement about what they're doing here. eBay has gone fee-free in the UK for clothing, but only for individual sellers. If you are a pro seller or a business seller, you are out of luck, which is troublesome to say the least. eBay is making it free to sell used clothing in the UK, but not for everyone. By only offering the policy to personal or casual sellers, it will make it harder for business sellers to compete, according to those reacting to eBay's April 8th announcement, which read as follows. eBay UK announces that as of today, it is free for individual sellers to sell fashion items, a move designed to encourage fashion lovers to put more cash in their pockets while supporting circular fashion. It will be free to sell all pre-owned clothing, including everything from the items you have worn once many times to brand new items with tags on that you just have never got around to wearing or returning. Existing individual fashion listings will benefit from free selling even if they were listed before the 8th of April. So eBay UK is retroactively eliminating the fees for individual sellers on clothing, even if it was listed prior to this announcement, which is cool if you're an individual seller. Pre-owned fashion lovers already benefit from zero buyer fees and are protected with eBay's money-back guarantee and expert customer service team at no additional cost. The asterisk says seller fee removal applies to pre-owned clothes, excluding sneakers, watches, handbags, and jewelry. So be aware of that. That is going on over there right now. The UK publication, The Daily Mail, explained that Depop, which is owned by Etsy, and Vinted were also offering fee-free selling, which is something several people had mentioned to me previously. Quote, previously eBay sellers faced a basic seller charge of 13.22% plus 30 pence on all items. While it is free to list up to 1,000 items a month on eBay, there was also an additional 35 pence charge for any items after this. eBay's partial move to fee-free selling in the UK in the clothing category also follows, of course, in the wake of Mercari making it free to sell in all categories in the United States. However, as they note, Mercari has shifted those fees to the buyers, which is something that eBay did not. So they just eliminated these fees altogether for individual sellers. So this is going to be really interesting to watch. There have been several instances over the past couple of years where eBay has trialed something in the UK to get some kind of measurement of how successful it is and what buyers and sellers think of it before they roll it out to the primary eBay.com site. So if you're a clothing seller in the UK and listening to this, let me know what you think of all this, especially if you're a business seller and you've been left out in the cold on this. I kind of have an issue with that. It should be the same for everyone. Punishing your pro sellers who probably account for a significant majority of your business seems like a bad decision. I guess time will tell. So, but it'd be interesting to see that Depop and Vinted. Several sellers had reached out to me from the UK saying that they were moving over there because there were no fees, and eBay obviously caught wind of that and has decided to try to keep those people somehow. So let me know down in the comments below what you think of that. Speaking of fashion, eBay also has announced a Shop the Look fashion carousel in mobile using, of course, AI, everybody's favorite buzzword. A day after making it fee-free for its casual sellers to sell fashion items in the UK, eBay announced a tool to help shoppers find outfits with the help of artificial intelligence. On mobile devices, shoppers can, quote, shop the look to find fashion ideas that eBay personalizes using generative AI. eBay explained the concept in part, quote, shop the look is an immersive carousel of looks tailored to our customers' shopping history, complete with interactive hotspots that reveal similar items and outfit inspirations. Imagine being greeted with a curation of outfits made of new and pre-owned apparel and luxury items that speak to your style preferences. We designed the shop to look to evolve with the tastes of our customers by taking cues from their shopping habits. So it's going to look at your search and buying history in order to use the AI to create these looks for you. Their style recommendations are made up of images and items that are personalized, ensuring a tailored fashion experience. With this approach, we offer a shopping experience that not only understands our customers' preferences, but also evolves with them over time. eBay is uniquely set up to create this kind of experience because we have decades of data and customer insights and billions of images that we can use to enrich our AI technology and create personalized magical experiences for our customers. eBay, they note in this article, has been trying to use technology to enhance the shopping experience for years. In 2017, that used image recognition technology in a marketing campaign tied to Fashion Week, creating a landing page that featured fashion sketches, again, where buyers could, quote, shop the look. In 2019, e-commerce Bytes reported that this Shop the Look patent had been filed by eBay. E-commerce systems typically sell hundreds, thousands, or even of millions of items to users. In light of so many choices, it can be difficult for a user to locate the items that may interest him or herself. It's no surprise, they said, that eBay expanded beyond this image recognition technology to using generative AI. And in this week's announcement, eBay explained, Shop the Look is now available in iOS for our US and UK customers. Android, once again, left behind in the dust. It'll be coming later this year. Shoppers, they say, who have viewed at least 10 fashion items in the past 180 days will find this feature both on the eBay homepage and the fashion landing page. Remember, again, this is only on mobile and for the time being only on iOS. eBay plans, they say, however, to expand the feature to other categories beyond fashion. Our goal is to continuously enhance the feature with new personalization elements over the next year. So eBay continues to try to capture more of that fashion market, looking at you, Poshmark. And in combination with this change in fees, they may be able to attract both more buyers and more sellers. So this will be fairly interesting to keep an eye on. Last bit of news, if you are a trading card seller, some big changes happening. And I'm not, it seems a little unclear how this is all going to work, but Collectors, the parent company of grading service PSA, is buying eBay Vault, which is the eBay-sponsored trading card vault, and selling to them its golden marketplace. According to today's announcement, eBay and PSA will offer a full, seamless, customer-centric product experience for the collecting community that will be unveiled over the coming months. So this is going to require some work to merge these two services together. PSA will introduce a new service offering to allow customers to sell, list, and sell trading cards on eBay at the time the card is graded, accelerating time to market and quality of listing. So that's pretty cool. So if you send a card to PSA to have it graded, as soon as it's done, there's going to be some mechanism where that thing automatically then gets listed on eBay. So that's probably helpful if you're a seller. Existing options, they note, for grading and sale will also remain available. eBay said that PSA would maintain seamless access to eBay Vault services in its for its U.S. customers. There will be no immediate changes to the services provided for a period of time post-closing. So that does not mean forever. That just means for a little while, apparently. After the deal closes, PSA will fold their existing Vault services along with eBay's Vault program into a newly branded offering with further details coming down the road, including integrating selling and grading services. So no indication whether there will be a merger of physical facilities or anything like that, or how the logistics of all that is going to be handled. But for trading card sellers, this is just another tool in the arsenal, I guess. This marriage looks like it should probably be a good one. In Wednesday's press release, eBay said it had entered into a commercial agreement with Collectors, but declined to state whether any money would change hands when the transaction closed simultaneously in the current quarter. So this is all going to happen pretty quickly. The current quarter ends on June 30th. So pretty big move. eBay is acquiring essentially another smaller auction / reselling site, and in the process, offloading their grading trading card vault to this other company, PSA. So all my trading card peeps out there, let me know what you think down in the comments below of all of that. That's quite a bit. Unfortunately, some of it not quite so good. Some of these things were pretty good and pretty interesting, but that postal increase thing, boy, whoo-wee. If you are a media seller and you're doing free shipping, man, that's going to be a big, big bite. If you are in that kind of low-priced free shipping book category, it's going to make it almost impossible to make money, in my opinion. So with that said, speaking of selling stuff, let's talk about some stuff that sold here at the Galaxy over the last week. Pretty good week here. Last week, if you follow me over on Instagram at GalaxyCDsRocks, I posted my weekly update as I usually do on Saturday morning, and I had 113 listings sold for the week, which was a big, big number. I had several. I'm pretty sure there are a couple in this recap where I had people that ordered multiple listings, multiple items on one order. So all in all, it was a very solid week. This first item from eBay, The Last Grain Race by Eric Newby. This was published by the Folio Society. It was an illustrated hardcover from 2001 in a really nice slipcase. I picked up a bunch of these for about $1 at an estate sale a couple of weeks ago. not of this particular book, but books in these slipcases that were published by the Folio Society. They are really, really nice books. Again, picked that up for a little over a dollar. This sold on a best offer for $20 plus free shipping. Here's an interesting one. I've been talking about these old, like, religious tracts and small booklets and pamphlets that I had picked up for, gosh, less than 10 cents a piece in a big box. They continue to sell. A lot of them are in that kind of $12 to $14 range. Here's one I had listed for $24.99 that I sold on a best offer of $20.01. I'm not sure where the one penny came from, but there you go. This was The Latter Rain by Mead McGuire. It was a religious booklet from, it looked like maybe the 1940s or 1950s, just a little 3x5, 30-odd page booklet. I couldn't find anything on it, so I just threw it out there for $25, sold it for $20. I'm into it for, like I said, less than 10 cents. Here's an old book, The Politicos by Matthew Josephson, a Harvest book from 1966. It's a rare, very hard to find paperback. I've had it for a long, long time. I had it listed, I think, for $29.99. It was in my sale. It got a watcher. I sent out my normal 15%, or I think in this case, a 10% off offer, and it sold for $21.49. This was part of my big 15,000 book lot, so I'm into it for less than 4 cents. Speaking of big buys, that was something else that I did last week. I talk about pretty regularly on this show. We're going to go on a little bit of a tangent here. Why it pays to network. And even if you don't need stuff, sometimes to go out and work with the estate sellers and keep your name and stuff out there. I had an estate seller reach out to me a few weeks ago and asked if I would be interested in doing an appraisal on an estate book collection and then potentially being able to buy it. Now, I declined to do the appraisal. I told the estate seller I would be interested in purchasing it, but I didn't feel right. I felt it was probably a conflict of interest for me to go in and give the attorneys for the estate an appraisal on some items that I was actually going to be interested in buying. So I declined to do the appraisal, and I said, if you find someone else that'll do it when it's done and they're ready to take an offer for the books, let me know and I'll go in and take a look at them. I'd be happy to do that, but I'm not comfortable doing both. Last week, I got a call that they were ready to have somebody come out and look at potentially buying all of them. I talked to the worker for the attorney. She said she thought there were like maybe two or three bookshelves, maybe a couple of hundred books. And I got to the property and there were 8 or 9 bookshelves. And as it turned out, about 1,000 books. Lot of stuff there. Unexpected that there was that much. A lot of it actually looked pretty good. As with any big bulk buy like that, there's some stuff that's probably not going to be worth all that much money. But there were some really cool old vintage and antique books, so it made it worth the trip. I explained to them. I said, hey, I know you got an appraisal on all this stuff. Here's where I'm at. You got about 1,000 books here. I would be happy to take them all off your hands. I'm guessing maybe half, maybe a little more than half are going to be worth my trouble, and the other half I'm probably going to donate or discard. Given that being the case, I would offer you $500 in cash and I will haul it all away. And she said, deal. So I got 1,000 books for essentially 50 cents a piece. I brought the first load of 12 tubs of those home with me that day. I'm going to go back up there next week and pick up hopefully most of the rest of them. May take 3 trips all in to get all 1,000 of them, but a really good buy. So if you are a book lover, be on the lookout. There's, as always, going to be hundreds of books a week coming up on my eBay and Etsy store. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, more stuff selling. This sold over on Mercari. I continue to rebound on Mercari. I'm still selling things both with and without seller fees, so it's a real mixed bag about what's going on over there. But this is one of those old science fiction digests that I love so much. This was Amazing Science Fiction Stories from October 1958. It had stories by Robert Bloch and Henry Slezar. Really nice condition for what is essentially a digest from the 1950s. This is part of a big lot that I picked up for about 75 cents not all that long ago. I had it listed for $22 plus free shipping over on Mercari. Back over to eBay. This is a book from an estate sale that I'm into for $2, Operation Bernhard and the White Raja. This is two books in one. It's a hardcover with its dust jacket from the Reading for Men Book Club from 1962, published by Nelson Doubleday. Had this listed for $29.99 or best offer, received an offer of $25. Own it for, next to nothing, probably a buck or two. Went ahead and took that offer and sent this thing on its way. Over on Etsy, I've talked about these before. I grab them every time I find them. The St. Joseph Daily Missal. This was the confraternity version from 1957. The cool thing about this was it had its original box. The bottom had been cut out of the box, which essentially turned it into like a slipcase. The box was a little ragged, but I've never seen one with its actual box. This also had a Catholic Book Publishing Company bookmark with some information about this missal and a guide on how to use and read the thing. So this was a pretty complete set. Normally, these 1950s era daily missals will sell anywhere from $12 to $18, but because this one had all this extra stuff, I listed it for $34.99 plus shipping, and that's what it sold for over on Etsy. Back over to eBay, Rainbow Missionary Stories by Stella M. Rudy, also known as Aunt Stella. This was published in 1930 by Fleming H. Ravel. It was a hardcover in actually really good condition for a book that's coming up on 100 years old. This was part of a big lot of books I own for about 16 cents a piece. This went for $44.99 plus shipping. Here's one of those first of the multi-item sales. If you're watching on YouTube and you're watching on your phone, you probably cannot make anything out on this image. But what it amounted to was 12 vintage science fiction novels. I did a big buy. I've actually done several big buys of science fiction paperbacks over the years. I'm into them for an average of about 35 cents. These were all from the 50s and 60s. Again, they bought 12 of them, totaling $63.64. I talked about it last week, and I talk about it regularly. I don't mind listing these things for $5.99, $6.99 plus shipping, because a lot of times you'll find buyers who will want to buy a whole mess of these at one time, and that turns that into a pretty fun sale. So 12 of these at 35 cents a piece, you can do the math, less than $4 in this probably, turned into $63.64 plus customer paid shipping. Another multi-item sale. I picked these up for 50 cents a piece at an estate closeout a couple of weeks ago. I had listed one at auction because I couldn't really determine what a good selling price would be. It didn't sell at auction, so I just threw them up there for, I think, $15.99 a piece. The Ohio Archaeologist magazine. I had four of these from the early 1960s and the late 1950s. Was formerly known as something with like American Indian heritage. It was published by the Archaeological Society of Ohio. Again, $2 in these four magazines. They sold for $63.96 plus shipping. I've talked about these books a couple of times. I had picked up a bunch of books, half a dozen or eight of them at an estate sale, and I paid $6 a piece for these. They were custom bound, really, really old books from the mid and late 1800s that whoever had owned them probably in the early 1900s had bound in custom leather binding. So the original covers were gone, but they were in really, really nice shape. The pages had some tanning and a little foxing. They're coming up on 200 years old, so you know they were not necessarily in the greatest condition that way, but they were all complete and fully intact. And they have been terrific. Normally, I'm not your guy buying books for $6 a piece out there, but I did on these because it looked like they were going to be pretty solid, and they've all sold for good money. This sold over on Etsy, The Memoir of Mrs. Harriet L. Winslow, an American Mission in Ceylon from 1840. This sold for $64.99 plus shipping. This actually went to the UK, so the customer paid all in with shipping and VAT, right around $100 for this book. And now your flip of the week. This was part of a estate sale buyout that I did, probably a year and a half ago. They had a bunch of the old, like, vintage textbooks, metallurgy textbooks, and things like that. I generally will grab all those up I can get. I own this book for $2, Symmetrical Components by C.F. Wagner and R.D. Evans. It's the 1961 edition. This was originally published sometime prior to that. So this was a quote-unquote newer version of it, still from the 1960s. Owned it for $2. It sold for $119.99 plus shipping. These are items that, for those of you who might be curious, generally when I get to about $75 or more, I will actually put right in the listing that these items will ship in boxes. Anything below that, I wrap everything in paper. I think I have actually a short somewhere on my YouTube channel where I show how I package items. I'll generally wrap them in some kind of paper. Paperbacks will get like a cardboard stiffener with them, and then they'll just go into a bubble mailer. I don't use just regular generic poly mailers. I like the bubble mailers. I've seen some sellers that actually use bubble wrap and then the regular Mylar, and it is probably a little cheaper to do that way, but if I'm shipping 40 books on a Monday, I don't want to take the time to do all that extra wrapping and the bubble wrap and all that, so I use bubble mailers. But again, at about $70 or $75 and over, I will just put right in the listing that that item is actually going to ship in a box. I think customers feel better about receiving this type of item at that kind of expense in a little bit better packaging. And again, if you go to my store and look at my feedback, you'll see that most of my customers are pretty pleased with the amount of time and effort that went into that packaging. So that, my friends, is going to put a wrap on this week's episode. I think next week I would like to do another question and answer episode. So if you have questions for me or about me, feel free to ask them either in the comments of this video. I will probably put a post on the community page and over on Instagram as well. So if there's anything you'd like to know or like to hear me discuss in an episode sometime over the next couple of weeks, let me know what your question is or your thoughts are, and we will share all of that in a future episode. As always, I appreciate you spending a little time with me. If you got something from this episode, do me a favor if you're watching on YouTube and hit that thumbs up button. The YouTube algorithm really seems to like that. If you're not currently a subscriber to the show or a follower of the podcast, you can consider doing that as well. And if you would, consider sharing this with your like-minded reselling friends. That would be awesome as well. With all of that out of the way, it's time to sell. Have a great week, guys.
You have been listening to the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you again next time.